Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. I am your host, Erica Lynn Anderson, along with my co-host, Eric Brown, and in case she's free. Hey guys, how are you today?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing
good. How are you guys doing?
How are you, Eric? Good. Had a good Sunday. Now it's thunderstorms, which I love, so it's nice.
I have had more than my share of thunderstorms down here. Finally have some sun.
Guys. I bet that's nice. Is it getting pretty hot there?
Not yet, because it's been so cloudy and stormy. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the news or not, but we've had tons of floods, just rain like every day, every night, thunderstorms, lightning. So that's kind of kept it cool for a while. So, so it's a nice sunny day now. Well, yesterday I was able to take in the Rangers game, so it was nice and sunny that yesterday. So nice today. So that's what they're expecting the rest of the week. So keep your fingers crossed.
Oh, thanks for the pictures. Those were awesome.
Yeah, I remember you told me to send them. So as soon as I got in,
yes.
There, I sent
them to you. Yay! Good friend, good friend.
All right. So today we are going to be talking about NFL news, OTAs, things like that. And in a bit, we will have the women's game recap. So we want to remind you to go to the No Joke Football Shop today at Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauty. You can order your project apparel like leggings, tees, hoodies, all that stuff. It's getting nicer out, so you can start working out outside. So we recommend going to our store. You can save 10% off when you use the code ORDERSHIP10. A reminder that every sale from the No Joke Football brand goes to help another player get noticed and recognized internationally through our photo shoots and social media platforms. Players like Chrissy Moran, Lauren Evans of Gridiron Queensland, plus Moon Arandia and Sofia Van Bay of FXF Mexico and the LIBF. So let's do the women's rundown before we get into the huddle. We are going to start over in Guam. You can follow at BAM Guam for updates and links to game coverage. We want to say a big congratulations to Team Legacy, who won their fourth consecutive championship title in the Latte Stone Bowl championship game. They beat the Lady Raiders 16-7. And in the third place game, the Lady Falcons beat the Steel Blazers. So congratulations, ladies, even. So now we are going to move on to the WFA. You can visit WFAfootball.net for results and standings, and also go to WFANation.com for weekly interviews. We want to remind you to follow our network partner at Backseat Coach for finals updates and game-day story links. So now on to the scores. The Pacific Warriors had a close win against the Central Cal War Angels, taking it 38-34. The Seattle Majestics, who remain undefeated this season, shut out the Portland Shockwaves 32-0. And an exciting game, the Boston Renegades beat the Chicago Force 30-24 in overtime. The Portland Fighting Phillies beat the Utah Blitz 49-22, while the St. Louis Slam beat the Tulsa Threat 52-19. The Kansas City Titans beat the Minnesota Machine 36-22. The Cleveland Fusion shut out the Detroit Dark Angels, beating them 35-0. While the Columbus Comets beat the Central Maryland Seahawks 2-0, the West Michigan Mayhem beat the Derby City Dynamite 15-0, And the DC Divas improved their record to 7-0 as they had a big shutout against the Atlanta Phoenix, winning 54-0. The Miami Fury beat the Orlando Anarchy 2-0, while the Tampa Bay Inferno shut out the Daytona Wave Runners 35-0. The Austin Outlaws also had a big shutout. They beat the South Texas Lady Crushers 57-0. The Arlington Impact beat the Houston Power 14-6, while the St. Louis Slam beat the Tulsa Threat 52-19. I think I have that on there twice. The Acadia Zydeco with a big shutout this weekend as they beat the Arkansas Wildcats 40-0. The Tacoma Trauma beat the Everett Rain 35-0, and the San Diego Surge remain undefeated this season as they beat the Ventura Wolfpack 2-0. Finally, in the WSA, with a very high-scoring game, the West Coast Lightning beat the Arizona Assassins 64-46. Lots of points scored in that game. So now we're going to move on to the IWSL, the Independent Women's Football League. You can visit IWSLSports.com for updates and standings. The Pittsburgh Passion remain undefeated this season. They beat the New York Sharks 21-14. The Montreal Blitz beat the Connecticut Wreckers 2-0, while the Toledo Rain beat the Baltimore Nighthawks 20-5. The Phoenix won with a shutout over the Washington Prodigy 33-0. And the Carolina Queen straight by with a 2-point win over the Huntsville Tigers with a final score of 20-18. The Austin Yellow Jackets win with a shutout of the New Orleans Crew, winning 37-0. While the Minnesota Vixen won a close match against the Madison Blaze 12-7. And the Iowa Crush beat the Colorado Free 36-6. The Utah Falcons remain undefeated with a huge shutout of the California Quake. The Falcons put up some huge points in their win. The final score was 81-0. The Sacramento Sirens also remain undefeated. They beat the Nevada Storm 54-7. The Tennessee Train beat the Knoxville Lightning 28-6, while the Philadelphia Firebirds had a big shutout against the Detroit Pride 63-0. And finally, in the IWSL, the Phoenix Phantoms shut out the North County Stars 28-0. We had some very high-scoring games there. Reminder to follow at CIFA Official for the Italian Women's Results and Story Links and our Facebook page for updates. You can go to our Facebook page for updates weekly. You can search Gridiron Beauties. And subscribe to our playlist at Gridiron Beauties YouTube channel and witness girls playing American football like a girl, no joke football. You can follow the new Twitter LIBF handle at 1LIBF and our network partner at radio_iMan on Twitter for updates and scores weekly. Follow at PGFL Official on Twitter and on Facebook.com/LIGAPGFL for scores. You can also follow the Caribbean Football League at Bucarenas Bikini for updates. And get the LNFA Spanish League updates and stats, www.fefa.es/LNFA. Use the hashtag LNFA Feminina on Twitter. Also follow at FEFA_Sane for updated matches on Twitter. And also follow at NFL Hispano on Twitter. You can find the Legends Football League on Twitter at MyLFL, and you can go to LFL US the News, and they also have a map. You can find it on Google Play, and the LFL is on Fuse this season. So if you get Fuse, check with your cable provider and definitely look them up. A reminder to follow the Australian Women's Offseason Update and keep up to date on the latest LGL Australia, Gridiron Victoria, Queensland ACT, and New South Wales information by following at Women's Gridiron, at LGL AUST on Twitter, and their website, WGLAUS.com, for cool features and past stories. Keep up to date on news and updates by following our network partners on Twitter, at Backseat Coach, at WSB Talk, at Miss Gridiron 9, at GI Queendom, at Radio_iMan, and continue to share our posts and info on women's tackle, full kit, and non-full kit. We really appreciate all of your support and getting our stuff out there. So that's Women News. Follow us on our social sites on Twitter, at Gridiron Beauty, or Facebook.com/Gridiron Beauties. And you can find us on Instagram, Gridiron Beauties. So I don't know if you guys wrote down any notes or anything you want to talk about. I have some stuff, so I'm going to throw it out there. If you guys have stuff, then go ahead and bring it up. So I saw that Denver left tackle Ryan Clady tore his ACL on Wednesday and will miss the rest of the season. So that's got to be a big blow to Denver, who is, you know, which is a team that is obviously they're undergoing a lot of shakeups in the off season. Eric, how do you think this will affect them?
Well, with this injury specifically, it'll affect them some. I don't know, you know, how capable the backup is or the person that they put in there behind him, but. I mean, you look at the fact that Peyton Manning doesn't hold on to the ball long. I mean, I think the average, he gets rid of the ball in something like 1.9 seconds. And plus, I mean, if he has to, he'll take a sack in a second. So it's not like he's allows himself to be a sitting duck. If there's nothing out there, he'll either get rid of the ball or he'll just, you know, basically just go down himself and they'll just touch him. So, I mean, in certain situations it can be a hindrance because, I mean, if you have someone that is a Pro Bowl pass rusher on that side and, you know, he's just having a field day with that left tackle that's supposed to have Peyton Manning's back, then, you know, it could make for a long day in that case. But, like I said, he gets rid of the ball quickly anyway, so, you know, remains to be seen how effective or ineffective the backup can be. So we'll see.
Yeah, and that's Peyton's kind of his blind side too. So that's another issue
right.
that they'll have to watch out for because, you know, that's that side where he can't stand as easily. Kishi, what do you think?
I think I'm going to agree with Eric in that, you know, Peyton is not one, like you said, you know, to hold on to the ball. He gets it out pretty quickly. And even though that is his blind side and his weaker side, I think that because of the way Peyton Manning studies not only the game, but his preparation, I think that he would probably take that into consideration. And because it's happening in the off season, between now and the time the season starts, that is going to give him enough time to go in, watch tape, any tape of himself, and assess the situation and figure out what is it that he needs to do to compensate for that.
Yeah, definitely. And that, you know, it's better that it happened now than, you know, towards the end of the off season for sure. I mean, you hate to see a guy get hurt at all, but if it's going to happen, this is the optimal time to happen for a lot of these teams, you know. So I read that in Cleveland, they have pretty much said that there's not an open quarterback competition. They've pretty much said that for right now, Josh McCown is their starter. And I found it interesting because McCown said that it has helped remove distractions so that the team can move in one direction. We all saw what the Johnny Manziel media circus did last year to that team. So, you know, that probably, you know, I can understand why McCown said that, you know. And we've talked a lot about the Redskins and how, and there's other teams that have done it too, where they bounce. You know, in between the Jets did it, where they bounce in between quarterbacks. Like, they don't move in one direction, which leads to issues in the locker room, you know, leadership problems. And so I personally think that this is a really good move for the Browns, that right now the team can move in one direction. They can all work. They know McCown. They get used to its system and everything else. And, Kishia, we'll start with you about kind of what you think about the Browns doing this. We've read, you know, obviously about – Manziel's off-the-field issues, but go ahead and let us know what you think.
Well, I definitely think that this is the right move. I think the Cleveland Browns have been a team that's been in turmoil for so long that anything that they can do to add to increase stability at that organization is going to be critical and helpful. Of course, there's a lot of people who say, well, you know, you picked Manziel in the first round, just going ahead and you know what you're going to get with McCown, and you might as well just let Manziel, if he's healthy and, you know, he's totally quote-unquote clean, let him, you know, go ahead and get the start. But I think right now the best way for them to go is with stability. And I also agree, of course, being here in D.C., I've seen firsthand the craziness and the turmoil that it causes when you're playing the quarterback numbers game. And that does not lead to a healthy locker room unit. And when the locker room and that unit is not functioning or working right, it translates into what the product that you see on the field. So I think if they go on ahead, get behind him now, kind of like they've done so far here in D.C., saying RG3 is our man, going ahead and start it off with now, let them say this is McCown, and then it does take that pressure off. Everybody understands their role, and then you start moving forward and working from there.
Yeah, what do you think, Eric?
I have to agree, especially with a team that's like the Browns that are struggling. I mean, you have to have something to at least hang your hat on and say, okay, this is where we're starting from. This is where we need to go. This is where, you know, this is how we're going to get there. McCown is, you know, he's obviously a capable backup. He's not really a proven starter, we'll say, you know, as far as a great quarterback, but at least he's somebody that can provide some consistency. Who knows? He may have another, you know, breakout year like he had with Chicago, but at least this is a guy that they know understands how to play football. You know, he's not learning how to play quarterback. He's not trying to learn all the nuances, you know, when to throw the ball, when not to throw the ball, when to take a sack, et cetera. So he is a proven veteran. So, I mean, you know, to me, it's a good decision.
Yeah, I think so, too. Just a little bit of news. This is not going to start a rant, I very much promise. Brady's appeal date has been set June 23rd. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. That's all I'm going to say. I promise that's all I'm going to say. So I just had to tell everybody that's when the appeal date has been set. Let's see. Thank you. I am working on it. So, and Kishi, do you have anything you've read or seen about the NFL or anything that you want to talk about?
Well, actually, yes. I've heard that Sean Lee is doing well. The reports are saying that, so far, Sean Lee is back on schedule, and that they're really and truly anticipating, you know, that he will be healthy and ready to go for the full season. For us, that I think that couldn't have come at a better time for a team that definitely is in need of not so much on the defense because we really held up on our own, but, you know, of course, losing DeMarco Murray, then bringing back that stability of Sean Lee, I think will be really beneficial to our team. And I think that is really and truly something that will help the Cowboys, especially, you know, again, in terms of that unit, in terms of the locker room, and just in terms of fortifying. But I actually did see something that I thought was really, really amazing, was about the two NFL players that go homeless. Did you guys see that story?
Yeah, I saw the promo
for it. I didn't read it, but I saw it. Same thing.
It just kind of glazed over. Yeah. Well, Chris Long, son of Howie Long, St. Louis Rams defensive end, and William Hayes, they went undercover to experience life as a homeless. And then they documented the journey. And I thought that was really, really powerful and impactful. And I really have to give them kudos for stepping up and creating awareness, you know, about somebody else. You know, so much and so often we hear so many stories about players who are always getting in the news. And, of course, you already know the situation like with Eric Bears. So we'll let him talk about that, you know. But the thing is that it's nice, especially in the offseason right now. I think the NFL could use this boost in the arm of some positive PR and press and to show someone doing something, you know, good in the community and trying to make a difference for someone else as opposed to I'm not signing that contract and I have to make my money. And I have to say I'm really impressed and I'm so excited to read that article. So that was some of the things that just jumped out at me right off the bat.
Yeah, that is cool. And that bringing that up in Kishi with the Ray McDonald issue, Eric, do you have anything to comment or say about that particular issue?
Well, I mean, the Bears, as far as letting him go, from that angle, pretty much they kept their word. I know John Fox said he's going to have him on a short leash, and obviously he did. The next day he was gone. But, I mean, obviously they took a chance. not everybody's perfect. Not everybody is going to be a Boy Scout. They took a chance on somebody that they thought could help them. I know they try to come off as, and the Bears, I mean, I know they try to come off as, they're, leaders of society and, this great entity that people look to. But bottom line is, people go there for and watch for entertainment and, to root their team. They're not looking to the Bears or any other NFL team as a moral compass, so to speak. But, they took a chance on a guy that they thought could help them win games, and, he let them down, and they did the right thing in letting him go.
Yeah, I agree. I think that setting this precedent for issues like domestic violence and, the Falcons waived Prince Shimbo. He was charged with aggravated animal cruelty. He was obviously, you have to say charged, alleged, all that. He hasn't been convicted, but he supposedly killed his girlfriend's dog, and the injuries were pretty horrific. So the Falcons, in light of that, waived him, which is, it's not funny, but it's, that Michael Vick was playing for the Falcons when his whole deal went down. So I just found that link kind of odd. But anyway, I think that teams setting the precedent that when it comes to violent crimes, when it comes to these kind of vicious conduct to that, they're saying we're not going to tolerate it. Because like you said, Eric, nobody's perfect. And we understand that these men are playing a game where aggressiveness is kind of natural and all the rest. So there's going to be some trouble. They've got a lot of money and a lot of fame. They're all under the microscope. And we're not expecting them to be perfect. But when it comes to things like domestic violence, aggravated animal cruelty, things like that, that cannot be tolerated. That absolutely cannot go unchecked. So the Bears definitely did the right thing there. And Shishi, do you have anything to add to that?
No, just basically, echoing what you all have said, I think it sets a tone, and that you have to hold people and individuals accountable. I guess, and not going too far off track because we were talking sports and not getting into philosophy, but I just wonder, and how many other career fields, though, would people be denied the opportunity for employment because of domestic abuse? And that's, we're looking at these athletes because they're high profile. But if you were just the everyday janitor, how much would that really impact your ability to go clean the building? And would people look at you and keep you from employment? And I wonder if we're doing this because we expect change outside of the realm of sports, or are we doing this because we expect to hold them to a different standard than we hold the rest of society? However, if you say that this is what your organization stands for, then I totally respect exactly what the Bears did. And I agree with you with the Prince situation in Atlanta. And that's the one team where you just can't be cruel to animals. That's not even an option. After all the, it literally took that team almost 3 years to recover from the whole Michael Vick situation, just in terms of the head, because it wasn't just Michael Vick. You got head coaches that were being lost. They went through the coaching carousel. It took them forever just to finally settle in and find a quarterback in Matty Ice. And the disruption was not just to Michael Vick losing his employment. It was literally, it brought down that team, and it took them multiple years to rebuild. And so the moment that happened, they're going to cut that snake off at the head. So I think that both teams did the right thing.
Yeah. And I think that, what you said about, the janitor, and I think that the difference, for me anyway, is my kids aren't watching the janitor to see how he behaves himself or how he conducts himself. And so I think that these players, in a way, do need to be held to a different standard, I guess, they're not perfect and they're people and all the rest, but at the same time, they have to know that when they enter into the job that they're going for in the NFL as a professional athlete, you're going to be watched more closely and that you do have to conduct yourself to a different standard than the rest of society. You know, and there's a lot of jobs that don't allow. I mean, if it's a felony, you know, how many jobs don't, you know, you can't get a job if you have a felony on your record. So I think that there does need to be some type of different standard for people that are in the limelight and people that are, you know, and I know that in some way it may not be fair, but you also knew what you were signing up for. So that's kind of my, I think, my opinion on where I stand with it.
Absolutely. Hey, I actually did want to talk about something. Where do you guys, because like right now there's a big deal being made here in the D.C. area about the fact that Deshaun Jackson didn't show up for the unofficial team OTAs. And so, like, there's, like, a whole big thing going on about that. And I just want to know where you guys stand. I mean, Eric, maybe even you could be the one to answer first because, you know, having played. But what is the – and, I mean, I have my opinion. So let me preface this. I already have my opinion of what I think. So I'm going to preface it with a question. Help explain for those listeners who don't understand the difference between unofficial OTAs versus team OTAs versus rookie OTAs. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because there's so many off-season workouts that you have to do before you actually get to training camp. And then you come with the cuts, and then you've got the, you know, and then you've got the preseason game. So for those listeners who are not as familiar with, can you kind of help explain what all these 12 million different OTAs are and off-season events, as well as the relevancy? Because I have my opinion, but let's just start with there so that, you know, people have a clarity and understanding.
Right. Well, typically it starts with the rookie camp. That's pretty much mandatory because obviously as a rookie coming in, you need to, you know, start learning as quickly as possible and as much as possible because, trust me, they don't waste any time with you. If you're not picking it up, you're gone. So, obviously, as a rookie, you want to be there. The unofficial OTAs, those are what we call, quote-unquote, not mandatory. It's not mandatory in the sense that, you know, you're obligated to be there. But at the same time, you know, if you consider yourself a team player, you know, you're trying to, you know, bond and get used to the rest of the guys, it's not necessarily, see, how do I put this? It's, if you don't go, it's kind of frowned upon, but at the same time, everyone knows it's not mandatory. It's one of those mandatory but not mandatory type things. But for someone who is, you know, a proven veteran, let alone, you know, one of the superstars of the league, I mean, you pretty much know how to get yourself ready for the season, especially if you've been on that team already. You know, if they're bringing in a whole new coaching staff, that's one thing. Or if you're trying to hold out for some reason, that's one thing. But if you're not there, it's not a huge deal because, you know, you, like I said, you know how to play the game. You know what you need to do to get yourself ready. So it's just a matter of going through that process. And then, of course, coming up on training camp, that's when everyone needs to be there. You know, the rookies, veterans, you know, getting to work together, getting to know each other, you know, getting that gel back, getting that vibe together to, you know, get ready for the upcoming season. So as far as the unofficial or you know, veterans not showing up to the unofficial OTAs, I don't really worry about it, like I said, unless it's a situation where you've got a new coaching staff coming in with a whole new system. Or, you know, if a guy's trying to hold out to, you know, for more money or, you know, maybe he just wants to be traded or what have you. So, it's kind of a mixed bag. It just depends on why they're not there.
But why is it a big deal? Like, for example, if a player doesn't show up for the unofficial OTAs, which were just held this past week, especially if it's a veteran player, why is there such a big deal about that? Because let me tell you, like, half the people here in D.C. were just ready to throw Deshaun Jackson under the bus, and it was a crime against man and nature, especially because he was out at the Cleveland Cavaliers game, the last game when they swept the Atlanta Hawks. So he was at that game, and then you saw the after pictures with DeSean Jackson and, you know, and the after parties, and then a couple days later. And I think the other issue is because he's doing a reality show. So a lot of the sports analysts here in D.C. are mad because they feel that he's putting more time into his into this reality show he's filming versus the OTAs. But if they're unofficial, then is he not then entitled to that time if that's technically his time, as opposed to he's missing preseason training, mandatory training. And then that could be, okay, yeah, this is mandatory, you need to be here for the team. So if they're unofficial, why are they complaining then about players not being there? If they're
volunteering.
I think one of the issues, though, is this is not Jackson's first time missing OTAs. You know what I mean? This is, he's made this kind of a habit. And, you know, let's be honest, he doesn't seem like the most team-oriented player. And I think that's, for me, that's what it comes down to. Like, do you rather watch a basketball game than go support your team? You know what I mean? Like, at what point do we, you know, kind of put the team before yourself? Like, it shows an unwillingness to, you know, if you want to be the best, then you have to put in the time. You have to be willing to you know, support your team and do all that. And that may be cutting into your vacation time, you know. So for me, it's kind of like, well, why wouldn't you be there? Voluntary or not, why wouldn't you want to do it? Like, you know what I mean? So, I don't know.
Well, also keep in mind, I mean, not a whole lot is really happening. You know, it's just as far as the, you know, broad scope of things. So the media is pretty much looking for any little thing that they can grasp onto to, you know, try to get, you know, viewership, readership, get ratings, whatever. So, I mean, if a veteran is not at the OTAs, then, oh my God, let's talk about this. Why is he not there? Let's interview him. And then when they interview him, they're breaking down, like, every little sentence, every little word. You know, what did he mean here? Why did he say this? Or, you know, he was at this game or he was at this club. I mean, the guy, he's a Pro Bowler. I mean, he's a proven talent. So, personally, I don't see what the big deal is.
Yep.
And like Erica said, this isn't his first time not going to the OTAs, so, you know, nobody
should
be surprised
and he
about
came,
that.
Well, see, but he came last year, and see, that's the other reason why. But the thing is, okay, but last year it was a new team. This year he's figured the team out, he's found his rhythm, and now he's doing his thing. And I'm totally agreeing with you, Eric. I think that this is just the media, you know, grasping at something to have to talk about because this is the dead time, this is the dead space, and I guess they need some justification for their own employment. However, it's a non-story to me, and I think that what it also does when you berate someone for not attending unofficial, non-mandatory team events, then what you're also doing is you're setting up a negative storyline about this individual that will follow them throughout the season for every little mistake. See, if you've been at OTAs, and then I think that is bad for the team. And that's why I actually don't like these negative plot lines, because it's also bad. It sets up a bad impression in the eyes of the fans. And so the whole point is to rally your fans behind your team, and that sets up division and it sets up hostility and angst and anger against the players. And it's kind of unfair because how many of us, and again, I know we're not, you know, professional athletes. However, if you get a chance to say, well, it's a holiday, but you can work, but you don't have to work. How many of us are really going to go in on a holiday that we don't have to work unless we just want the overtime? Some people want the overtime, you know,
right.
Some people don't. But then, you know, but if you're a salaried player, if you're a salaried employee, well, you're not going to get overtime. So if you come in or you don't come in, what's the benefit? So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, but it just sets up a negative image in the eyes of the fans. And that's it's unnecessary and it's unfair. So I think that they need to just decide which off-season team activities are mandatory and which ones are not. And if they're not mandatory, then you don't even announce those to the public. You just say, hey, guys, we're going to have some team activities. If you guys want to come out and get some extra work in, great, show up. And don't even publicize that you're having them and keep those in-house.
Well, also, from the sports, I mean, going all the way back to, you know, high school, it kind of breeds that kind of mentality where, I mean, you have all kinds of, you know, summer camps and off-season camps and, you know, off-season get-togethers with, you know, coaches and teams. Coaches will always say, you know, it's not mandatory, but you know in the back of your mind, you know what he's thinking. You know, if it,
right.
it's, I'm saying it's not mandatory, but I still expect you to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, my high school coach, for example, the varsity coach, you know, we had, you know, summer practices, you know, before training camp would start. And he said flat out, it's not mandatory, but if I don't see you there regularly, don't expect to be a starter. I mean, he just, that's just where it starts from. And, you know, it graduates from there. You have the same thing in college. There's off-season practices in college. Most of them are mandatory, but some of them aren't. But, I mean, you know going in that, you know, say you're an incoming freshman or maybe you're a sophomore that's kind of started paying your dues and you're trying to get a starting job, you know if you don't show up at the ones that are not mandatory, then, you know, you're probably going to get passed up because there's, you know, you've got, in some cases, you know, 3-4 guys ahead of you, maybe even, you know, 1 or 2. But, you know, if you're not at those meetings, you're not showing your face to the coach doesn't see you working, you may not even be there. So, I mean, that's just the kind of culture that it breeds.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, the really that point, you know, in case you what you said about the media, and Eric, you said it too, is they don't have anything else to talk about. And you know what? And that's honestly, that's why this Deflategate thing blew up the way it is. They're like, let's milk every single bit we can out of this thing because we got nothing else going on. And it's unfortunate
right.
that all they can talk about are negative stuff right now. And, you know, they just are watching everybody so closely and picking out. I mean, it's like the covers of the magazines for someone's in mid-sneeze and they're like, oh, my gosh, look at their face. And it's like, oh, my gosh, you totally took that out of context. Let's not
mm-hmm.
blow it up. So, yeah, I definitely,
right.
I mean, I think that the biggest thing with DeSean Jackson is that he missed, and I think otherwise, you know, he's still one of the top receivers in the league. And I think as long as his overall production isn't going down, you know, I mean, he's going to do what he's going to do. And I'm sorry, but the Redskins knew how he operated when he was in Philly, and they picked him up anyway. So that's kind of on them at that point.
Yeah, I mean, well, and that's the thing. I could see if he wasn't producing, you know, and I don't, and this is not the whole Allen Iverson practice rant. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't miss practice. He shows up for practice. He does what he's supposed to do. He's there when he's supposed to be there. So maybe he didn't put in that extra, okay? Do you like to see the extra? Yes, you like to see the extra. But, again, if it's not mandatory, then, you know, it's okay. Because, again, I'm going to say so many of us, we want to have those days off. And we don't put our bodies through that grueling torture. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Some days it's a struggle just to get to kickboxing class twice a week. I can't even begin to imagine, you know, what the struggle is like for – and the physical and, you know, the endurance and, you know, that professional athletes have to endure. So I'm sorry if maybe sitting out in 90-degree Washington heat with this high humidity is not necessarily high on my list. Now, granted, they're inside. I know I've been to Redskins Park. It's very, very nice. You know, and, yes, they've got the nice little bubble and all that. But still, at the same point, that. You know, it's a lot of physical, grueling work. And, you know, if you can get one extra day to just be on vacation, I think I can kind of understand taking it. Like I said, I think that maybe the team, if they're going to have OTAs, I think they should just keep it in-house. And then if someone shows up, they show up. And if they don't, they don't. And if it's an unofficial team, then you know what? You deal with it in-house, too. You know, if that's something, you know, like you were saying, Eric, about your coach was like, well, no, it's unofficial, you know, and then he's
right.
checking his roster to see who shows up. Then the coach deals with it at that time. And I think maybe that would help because part of the negative press has to do with the fact that we know so much about everything. that there's no room for these guys to make mistakes.
Right.
So I don't know.
I read something.
Go ahead, Erica.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying I read something. It sounds like a bunch of kids on a playground in Philadelphia when somebody said something and Matt Barkley was like, Tebow's not taking my rep. He sounded like I can imagine he's, like, pouting. And, like, a little kid, like, nuh-uh, he's not taking my toys. That's probably what it sounded like to me when I read that. So I just wanted to point that out, that the quarterbacks in Philly sound like a bunch of little kids in a playground.
So, yeah, that's going to be
the only
fun.
One that's not saying anything is Tebow.
I don't I just love it. I love it because people, and I love Tebow, to be honest. I really do. And people hate him, and so I just love that he's like, whatever, just doing my thing. I dare you to find a reason to criticize me. I really love it. So.
Well, they're going to criticize him because he's not saying anything.
What's that?
I said, this league is so crazy, people will probably criticize him for not saying anything.
Right? Exactly. He's too vocal. Oh, my gosh, we hate him. And he's not talking, oh, my gosh, what a jerk. Right? He can't win either way.
No.
But I think
that's smart for him to be quiet, though. I said, I do think it's smart, though, for him to be quiet, though.
It is, I think.
Because
so, too.
He's got a, I mean, if the whole thing about him is that, oh, he's, you know, he's got all this baggage and he's a circus, and I think, yeah, the best thing he could do is be still.
Yeah.
Well, people often forget,
anyway.
Too. I know, you know, the coaches and media, you know, they always bring up, you know, his you know, lack of accuracy, still working on the throwing motion after how many years he's been out of college. But, I mean, you look at his record, he's only lost, what, one game?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Somewhere in there, I mean, he's found a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that winning that way all the time will drive coaches crazy. But, I mean, bottom line, you know, he's only lost one game. So I say, you know, give him a shot and, you know, see exactly what he can do, you know, with an NFL team playing quarterback.
Yeah, he's a definite winner. He knows. However he does it, we don't know because, like you said, I mean, you look at him, you critique his mechanics and stuff, and they're a mess. But Tebow finds a way to win. I think he has this kind of thing where he's able to pull a team together and get everybody to kind of work together. You know what I mean? Be a team. And a lot of times it takes somebody like that, and he's that guy. And, you know, I agree, Eric, that somebody needs to give him a shot, and I think that he could really, you know, do really well for a team.
Yeah.
I think it's hard for people. I think that the Tebow experiment, because it failed so miserably in New York with the Jets, is that it became a self-fulfilling prophecy of, oh, well, he sucks. He thinks he's not a real quarterback. See, look what happened. See how bad he screwed up in New York. Oh, see, the Jets thing proves that he's not a real quarterback. And I think that had it not been a self-fulfilling prophecy, he probably would have had a chance to stay in the league longer. But the Jets' offense and their offensive line were just so awful that even Tebow couldn't have done anything with it anyway. So I think that he needs the opportunity to go to a team with some stability to be able to show that he has options. But I think that he also should be willing to look at the fact that maybe his contribution may not be as quarterback. I'm sorry. There are a lot of guys who are quarterbacks all throughout high school, and guess what they do when they get to college? They're moved to wide receiver. So at some point, he also has to decide, does he really want to play or does he only want to play quarterback?
Well, that's the thing.
Made that decision.
Yeah, he has. He said, I'm a quarterback, and that's what I want to play as a quarterback. You know?
I think he needs to go somewhere that, you know, obviously everyone is in his corner. They want him to succeed. They will, you know, build things around him. They'll put people in place that will, you know, compliment him, what he can do, what he can't do. Now, you know, from a coach's standpoint, like I said before, it drives them crazy because it's like he can only perform well if he's under pressure. You know, if they're down, you know, two touchdowns in the fourth quarter on the road, you know, the field is bad, The game is on the line. It seems like that's the only time that he performs. But, you know, like I said, he's only lost one game. So if he can find that type of scenario where there's, you know, not only the coaches are in his corner, but the people in the front office, you know, management, the ownership, if he can find that type of situation, I think he'll be a pretty successful NFL quarterback.
Yeah, I'd like to see him at tight end. I honestly think he would be a great tight end. He's athletic, he's fast, he's big. You know what I mean? I mean, I honestly think he would be a good tight end, but I know that's not what he wants to do. He wants to play quarterback. You know, and like you said, in Kishi, I mean, Julian Edelman played quarterback. He was a quarterback in high school, and he was a quarterback at Kent State in college. But you look at his size, and that's the difference between Edelman and Tebow, obviously, his size, but Edelman didn't have a shot at playing quarterback in the NFL. So when the Patriots drafted him, they said, hey, we don't know where you're going to be, but we know we want you on our team. And then they found a spot for him at wide receiver. And then that does happen. Sometimes you have to adjust your expectations if you want to play in the NFL. And that's kind of what you have to make, is to make that decision, you know?
And I think it's short-sighted of him to sit there and say, I'm only going to play quarterback. Now, I'm sure that, you know, and again, and I guess maybe because I'm also thinking about it from the historical point of view, is that for many years, a lot of African-American quarterbacks who probably would have been great quarterbacks were forced to go play other positions. But then again, they had to make the decision, do I want to play in the NFL or do I only want to play quarterback? Now, granted, I get if you're good, and that's the other thing. I think if you're a good quarterback, if you figured out a way to show that you are a team leader and all of the others, and not even so much the mechanics. For me, his ability to be a good quarterback has less to do with his mechanics than some of the other intrinsic and intangibles that go along with being a quarterback. And while I think he makes a good team leader, I don't think that he has what it takes to lead in that position. But like you said, Erica, I certainly see it. You know who else he reminds me of? And Eric, tell me what you think. He reminds me a lot of John Riggins, especially with his eyes and his speed. Can you see him like as a big power back?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Honestly, I can see him playing other positions, but I don't see him being a starter in other positions.
That's interesting.
Mainly because
of
his mentality, because he's so determined to be a quarterback. That, you know, that can kind of hinder you with being able to play other positions, because if they say, okay, you know, I understand you want to play quarterback, but we think you'll make a better tight end, the only way you're going to be a successful tight end is if you change your mindset to, okay, they want me to play tight end, I'm going to be the best damn tight end that I can be for this team.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, okay, well, I'll play tight end just because they asked me to, but when the opportunity comes up, I'm going to play quarterback. I think that's the difference that happens when guys come from college and they have to change positions. They're determined to, okay, well, you know, that's the position I grew up playing, but, you know, if they want me to play this and I want to be in the NFL, then I'm going to be, you know, the best I can be at that particular position. But if the mentality is, no matter what, I'm going to play this position, I'll play this other position because you asked me to, not because I want to, then that can kind of hinder your development. So that's why I say I see him.
Yeah.
He's a good enough athlete to play other positions, but I don't see him starting at other positions.
Okay, I can see that.
He's definitely gifted. He's definitely athletically gifted. There's definitely no doubt. And he's got the mentality of a professional athlete. But, you know, that is a good point that, too, in order for, you know, quarterback mindset is very in control, very, you know, all of that. He moves to a different position, he's going to have to give that control up. As a tight end, he's going to have to give the quarterback. And can he do that? Can he take orders from maybe that's not his fault? You know, can if the quarterback says, hey, this is the route you're running, can he say, you know, is he going to go, hey, well, I think this would be better. I mean, I don't think Gronk's doing that to Brady in the huddle, you know, and I don't think that's something a quarterback would appreciate. So that is definitely something that
that happens a lot, actually. I don't see Tebow doing that. I mean, he seems to be, you know, much more respectful of other people. But, I mean, yeah, that happens a lot. Now, it also depends on the quarterback. Some quarterbacks will take it, some won't. You know, I'm sure, you know,
yeah.
Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, you know, if you're a guy that's just trying to hang on to the team or you're just trying to, you know, kind of like eke out a spot, you come back to the huddle like, you know what, you're telling me to run this route. It'll be better if I run there. They'll be like, next, get this guy off the field. So
that's true. But then you know what though? Isn't that what some of the better wide receivers do? Isn't that what some of them do? I mean, think about it. The you know, the Michael Irvins, and even though he might have been annoying as all get out, to some degree, even you know the Terrell Owens of the world, if they can see something that you can't see, you know, because they've been beating somebody on the routes, isn't that their responsibility to tell the quarterback, you know, hey, I'm beating this guy on his routes. I'm turning right. He's turning left. Whatever. He stopped up short. If he stopped up short on this play, then I can go past and do a slant run or, you know, slant route or whatever. I mean, is that acceptable in the huddle? And would that be?
That kind of piggybacks on my point. If you're, you know, a proven veteran or a superstar on the team, that's something different. I'm just saying if you're just one of the guys or if you're someone that's just barely hanging on by a thread, or, you know, even a rookie trying to make the team, I guarantee you if you come back to the huddle, you know, to Andrew Luck or, you know, someone who's an established veteran quarterback that knows, you know, 10 times more than you do, I guarantee you they are not going to accept that unless you've, you know, been making, you know, play after play after play. Then they'll be like, okay, well, you know, I can kind of see things from your point of view now. But yeah, you have to be a guy that's proven, a guy that's respected, and then they'll look at you that way.
Yeah, and I think, it has to do with the kind of relationship you've cultivated with your quarterback. And I think that's why that, you know,
right.
when they talk about the kind of the charisma or the, you know, the relationship that, you know, that the bond that a wide receiver and a quarterback are cultivating, I think that that very part of it, Eric, your point, is what leads into that, do you have the type of relationship that allows that dialogue where the respect, you know? And so I think, you know, people undervalue that when, you know, in OTAs and in the off season with new players. I mean, that's what you're trying to do is build that, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
That
right.
chemistry.
Exactly.
Yeah, that
mm-hmm.
yeah, that chemistry is critical. That
mm-hmm.
is very true.
Brilliant.
It's kind of like with relationships in general. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you have someone that's a really good friend, you know, maybe they can say certain things to you that, you know, someone that's kind of an acquaintance or someone that you just met, you just absolutely would
mm-hmm.
not tolerate if they said it. So,
right? For sure. Have a friend tell you, your butt looks big in those pants, you'd be like, excuse me? But another friend, you'd be like, thank you for telling me. I appreciate it. So, you
exactly.
know?
No, that's so
yep.
true.
So we are almost out of time, but I have to mention something that, surprise, surprise, irritated me. I think it's my permanent state when it comes to football, but for real. Okay. So when we were talking about all those dumb mock drafts and how annoying they were, no joke, I found an article from 2 days ago where they were already talking about the matchup for Super Bowl 50.
What?
Excuse me, but we're in voluntary OTAs right now. Like, or maybe we're just regular. I don't, anyway. They're all talking about who they want to see. And I get that maybe it's like a dream matchup, but it's still like, can we play some games first before you all start spouting about who you want in Super Bowl 50? It's so annoying. I kind of
right.
want to punch each and one of these writers in their faces. Like, oh, my gosh. Anyway, I bet you if I looked up each one of these writers, they each have an article slamming the Patriots, too. See? It all makes sense now. Gosh. Anyway, I totally get that out. It was really annoying to me that they're already talking about it.
Well, you know, a lot of them would do that because so that way once the Super Bowl does get here, they can say, oh, see, I predicted it 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yep. And you know what the
no,
two teams
true.
I've seen the most are the Colts and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
People want
Sorry.
Colts, Cowboys. They want Bills, Bills Cardinals, and like
really,
Patriots.
I can't picture
like,
Bills
yeah.
or Cardinals.
And then they're like, who Steelers Cowboys, Colts
yeah,
Packers.
Yeah, that I can see.
And yeah, anyway, Cowboys Bills.
Okay.
I
don't want to see Cowboys Bills. Let me be clear. I don't want to see Cowboys Bills. I'm so clear on that. I don't want to repeat that. I am all for Cowboys and Steelers because that is just a true love-hate relationship, considering that whole thumb crap. I'm sorry, did I say that? Yeah, that whole thumb crap, you know, only because one of those rings, actually more than one, but that's not the point. But is that the point?
Well, that's
is
a classic
that point?
Matchup, though.
I know, right? Because out of three matchups, they got two, we got one. But that's okay. We got the last one. That's when it counts, so that's okay. However, we need a little vindication here. We
Bills.
Need to even up the score.
I don't want the Bills in the Super Bowl because that means we're not in it. So, No, nobody from my division but me, okay? So
okay.
That's a no-go.
So let me play devil's advocate. Okay, so let me play devil's advocate. Wouldn't an awesome matchup for the Super Bowl be, wait for it, the Bears and the Patriots?
Oh, my
at
God.
This point, the,
that,
at
no
this
my...
point, the Bears and the Patriots.
What'd you say, Eric?
I said at this point it could be the Bears and anybody. I don't care. Just get there.
I want to see the rematch of the 85 Super Bowl.
Right? And my house would be divided.
Yes.
My husband is a Bears fan.
No, I didn't know. Yes, I forgot about that. Oh, wow.
We may have to watch the game separately, I think.
Yeah. I can believe that. I could definitely. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to set up division among us.
No.
I was just thinking about in terms of you and Eric.
Yeah. Well, I'd be like, do we need to, you know, get the divorce papers ready before the game or wait till after the game?
No, just make sure that somebody's going to have to do a lot of dishes. That's all.
Right? Yeah.
We need to get my buddy on the show.
Who's your buddy? Is he a Bears fan? I'm not bringing him on if he's a Bears fan.
No, your husband. He's my new buddy now, so we got to get
him on the show. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
he's not happy with the Bears right now. So,
well, I know.
Well,
I am not.
he really hates Jay Cutler. So, which I don't fault him for that. I don't know really many people that like Jay Cutler. But, so he's happier now that they traded Brandon Marshall away. That's better. He's better.
Really?
But,
that surprises
me.
I just heard that the Jets are increasing his salary, too.
They did.
Yeah,
I'm like, he hasn't even done anything, and you're going to give him more money? Like, don't you want to wait to see if he does anything for you first? I don't know. I think that's weird.
Well, Eric, do you like the fact that they traded away Brandon Marshall?
Yeah, I do for a couple reasons. One, just he was just becoming a huge distraction in the locker room. There was no leadership, and he pretty much took advantage of that. Also, from another standpoint, it seems like whenever he was on the field, that he was pretty much the only one Jay Cutler was looking for. That made them very predictable, and especially in obvious passing situations. So,
but I thought they had good chemistry. That was the whole point of putting them together and bringing him up from Miami.
They had personal chemistry, but
you know,
he was becoming such a distraction in the locker room that they just had to get him out of there. You can't just lock in on one guy, every time you get ready to pass because that, everybody knows what you're going to do.
Right.
I know. It was like a laser beam. Like, every time Jay Cutler dropped back, it was like, going to Marshall, and then interception. Oh, man. So, Brandon Marshall was like raw food in your drinking water. He was, like, poisoning that team. And so it was like, it was such a good thing for him to go, honestly. And you know what? He went to the perfect place. He went to the dump. Ross Sewage went to the dump. So I'm happy that he's there. Yeah, I did just call the New York Jets the dump. So you can,
well, he was going out there every week to do the TV show anyway. So, you know, now they just cut out the trip every week.
TV show. Wait, I missed that one. What TV show?
Yeah,
I missed that.
Inside the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
So, Jets fans, you can send the hate mail to @PestFangirl12 for calling the Jets the dump. But I am a Patriots fan, so you could probably understand. If you had the chance, you would call the Patriots a lot worse. I'm being nice. So, there you go. All right. Well, I think we're just about out of time. In case you do have any last words for us?
No, I am just ready, you know, 15 more Sundays until opening season. I know I shouldn't be counting that hard, but, you know, all of my diehard diehard football fans, friends around me, you know, they're like one of my girlfriends. She's like a Redskins fan, but I still like her anyway. And so she has a jersey with the number 15 on it on her Facebook page. I'm like, oh, my God. But I love you anyway, Charmaine. I do. Girlfriend, rock on. Yay. No. But, yeah, I'm ready. I'm like, and thank God for the NBA finals and NHL finals are going down this week. And otherwise I'd be going through some withdrawals. Yeah, but other than that, I'm really ready for football to start.
Yeah. Eric, do you have any last words for us?
Yeah, I'm just waiting to see letting this Adrian Peterson situation play itself out.
Because
initially, you know, he didn't want to come back. Now he wants to come back, but only if they give him a guaranteed contract, which obviously we know NFL players don't get, and which he probably won't get either. So, and then the coach comes out saying, you know, he'll play here or he won't play anywhere else. So I'm just interested to see how that whole situation is going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a bad situation all the way around.
It's a team contest. Let's see who wins.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, well, I have a best friend that is a Seahawks fan, so I'm with you, Nkishi. It can be hard on a relationship when football team affiliations get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
But your friendship just has to transcend fandom, I guess, or try to.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
And marriages.
And marriages. You know, we haven't had a problem yet because actually he likes the Patriots. My husband does like the Patriots. So we don't have too big of a problem in our house. But if the Super Bowl were Bears Patriots, we may have a problem. But. All right, so there is another awesome edition of The Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio. We want to remind you to check out at Gridiron Girl Org on Twitter and gridirongirl.org for college football and NFL and all that stuff. I do have a new article on there about a individual we interviewed, Larry D. Butler III. We interviewed him before the draft, and I do have a new article up. So I encourage you to go read it, share it. He is a wonderful individual, and I had a lot of fun interviewing him when Eric and I got to interview him. So go check that out. It is in the Pro Talk section at gridirongirl.org. So you can find us all on Twitter. We're really super awesome, so you'll want to find us. You can find Nkishi at Nkishi's Cuties. And you can find Eric at Fit for Life, life spelled with a Y. And you can find me on Twitter at PepFangirl12 for NFL tweets and all-around hilariousness. You can find me during the NFL season on Cover 3. You can find Cover 3 on Twitter at Cover, the number 3, then the word 3 spelled out. Plus, my Are You Kidding Me rants on YouTube. I never did get one up for the plate date mostly because I never did simmer down enough to avoid bleeping everything out. So that's why you never saw one. So maybe after Brady's appeal, depending on which way it goes, I'll do one. So we'll see. We want to thank everyone.
You've got us for your rant.
That's true. I do. And I haven't really cussed. I'm really proud of myself that I have not been profane. So lots of self-control involved over here. Lots of self-control on a daily basis. So we want to thank everyone for your support and for listening weekly. We appreciate it. We encourage you to keep following at Gridiron Beauties on Twitter and check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/Gridiron Beauties. So for me, Erica Lynn Anderson, and Kishi and Eric, we will catch you next Sunday. Oh, and I will not be on for the next 3 Sundays. I did forget to mention that. And then the next 2 Sundays I will be on vacation. So
woo-hoo.
I will not be on, but good news, Oscar will be back. So
yay,
you get Oscar instead of me. So anyway, I will miss all of you, and I'll save up all of my rants so that when I come back, I have a bunch of them for you all. So
awesome.
So I will miss you all, but I know you guys will be in great hands with Eric and Kishi and Oscar. So have a great evening, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. Have a good night. Bye.
Good night.
Bye, guys.